I would like to call this 1,385th meeting of the Board of Directors to order. I would ask for an approval of the agenda.
So moved.
A motion made and seconded for the approval of the agenda. Any comment? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? I would ask Mr. Downing for the certification of the board executive session.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the board certify, to the best of each member's knowledge and with no individual member dissenting, that at the just concluded board executive session, only such matters as are authorized for discussion in executive session under board bylaws Article 10, and only those matters identified in the notice by which the executive session was convened were heard, discussed, or considered by the board.
Motion made and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? I would recognize that Ms. Porter is acting as the voting member from Maryland in the absence of Mr. Barnes. I would ask for an approval of the minutes of both May the 9th and April the 25th. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's right. His son is graduating from Columbia? NYU.
NYU.
With an MBA.
Darn school.
Approval of the minutes of May the 9th and April the 25th.
Mm-hmm.
Motion made and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Public comment. We have Michael Syndrome.
Morning, Mr. Chair. All is with the sound of my voice. Michael Syndrome, disabled veteran, served our country more than most. Having to catch in the news, General Manager Sarles and board members, the trolley folly in D.C., $400 million and counting that was stored at the Greenbelt Station. What was the reason for that? And moreover, can't those funds be best used for Ramada? Why do we got a toy that's going to be used by a very select few, albeit the status elite, monarchical elitist? It doesn't make any sense. There's an article recently in the Examiner. Metro fires two employees after probe discovers theft. I've made the chief and numbers aware there's been theft ongoing. My bicycle, fare cards, etc. You can push it to the side, chief, but it's not going to make it go away, right? And comment card that I've had copies made for all of you, respectively. I put in there, not only that you contact me, but I'd like the results of the actions taken, which should be a standard form statement. It used to be, but no longer. I haven't heard a word. These cards were turned in on April the 6th. Here it is today, May the 23rd, right? Haven't heard a word. This is not good. And Cassandra Barr was coordinating. Actually, she didn't want her surname recognized. I found it out. Not good. And I understand Judah Glickman of your office, Ms. Bowser, is following up. So hopefully we'll get some resolve. I've asked, too, previously, who is the ADA 504 coordinator for Ramada? I mean, it's a simple question. It's required by law. Can you help me, Mr. Downs, general manager, one of your board members? Who would that be? It's required by law. I mean, if Ramada's not doing the right thing, we have an advisory board, whatnot. But who is the ADA 504 coordinator? I mean, you all look dumbfounded, but it's required by law. Can somebody help me here?
I will have somebody follow up with you afterwards. We'll give you a formal response.
Thanks.
How's that?
Last but not least, as I made mention before, at the Metro Center headquarters, you've got seven sales offices. Three of them have been closed down indefinitely. That's the moneymaker for Ramada. Why is that? And moreover, the hours over here at headquarters are from 9 to 3. They should be extended minimally as they are at the Metro Center sales office. I don't understand that. Can you help me here?
Not right now. Thank you. That concludes the list for public comment. The report by the Accessibility Advisory Committee, Mr. Sheehan.
Thank you very much for letting me speak this morning, and Phil's going to give some remarks also. I will just say, number one, I guess on the 504 ADA issue that just came up, my committee has requirements for information in alternative formats, specialized formats, and I will say that the information that we get on a regular basis does meet the requirements of, let's say, 508 and 504. So anytime that there are issues regarding information, if they have to be in alternative formats, I know that Christian Kent's office has come to us, and we've done our best to try to give that kind of information, since this is the sort of thing we do all the time and we're exposed to. So if there are any additional questions from 508 area, we're pleased to be able to give our area of expertise and give it what information we can and points of contact. That's part of what we live every day, and I would say that the service that we're getting from Christian Kent's office and the people underneath him and staff have been very, very good. When they don't know the answer, they come to us, and we give them what we can and try to provide accurate information. As far as my report goes, I would say that things are moving very, very well. We have been working with Metro Access. We are looking at a transition which is extremely smooth. We have not run across any issues as far as transition is concerned. We've had input from the main groups that are giving service, and they have answered questions to the committees that particularly Metro Access Subcommittee. So we're very, very pleased with that. On the lighting front, we've received a schedule. We're moving forward with that, and we're also engaged with the Bethesda Station as a demonstration project for what we want to see moving forward. There is a lot of interest, particularly from the disabled community, on what's going to be happening specifically in Bethesda. So we're pleased that we're engaged and can give our advice and make an effect on what's going forward in a timely manner. We appreciate being engaged like that and upfront, as opposed to, you know, at the tail end of these of this particular project. One of the areas that came up recently was the description of the particularly the Gary Place subway station using click and go maps. We received a briefing on that about a month ago, I think it was, and subsequently individuals from WMATA and also Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind have come out to the disability community, particularly the blind community, in various locations and are starting to talk about that project. They have been received with lots of questions. Everyone is very, very excited about that kind of access, moving forward with that access and making sure that it's going to be an effective project. So I think that within Christian Kent's office, that project is receiving very, very favorable reviews. Everyone's excited. The disability community is being engaged for the input, so that you can get focus groups together, so that when the project goes forward in the September-December timeframe, that the product that will be out there will be extremely vetted. You'll have a lot of the disability community engaged, and I think it's going to be a very good project. People particularly in the disability community, appreciate being part of the focus group, being part of the solution. So I think engaging through WMATA and also Columbia Lighthouse has been very, very effective. And then lastly, as I said, the lighting project is going forward very nicely. In the area of the bus stops and the bus stop survey, I have received calls from a couple of the county government groups that have people with disabilities on them, particularly in Montgomery County. What they're interested in doing is working with the AAC to help try to move the installation of accessible bus stops forward within the different jurisdictions. Because a lot of the bus stops fall into the jurisdiction area, particularly Montgomery County, Prince George's County, if we can engage those disability groups, I think we're going to be moving much further ahead. We have the data for what bus stops need to be improved, how they need to be improved. They have the jurisdictions and the points of contact there. And so we've talked to a couple of them. They've come to us. They want to engage us in that process. So I think within the next 2-3 months, I see that moving forward, and we'll be able to track which bus stops we can improve in what time frame. So I'm very encouraged by that also. All in all, from what my subcommittees have reported on through, Phil's going to fill you in on a few other points, bus rail, metro access, and the full committee, we've been receiving very good reports. Lastly, we received a very comprehensive report, very well done, on the Silver Line. That was my first exposure to that. Lots of good questions came from from my committee and the subcommittees. Very professional, very well done as far as the briefing that we received, and we're very pleased with that. We want to follow up, make sure that accessibility issues are addressed in the Silver Line, of course, but we appreciate the briefing and being able to ask those questions. Thank you. Bill?
Hi, good morning. Just a continuation on the Silver Line. The presentation was superb as far as it went, but you're all aware that Silver Line's being put together by the Airport Authority. And so WMATA doesn't have quite the inspection capabilities it has when it will take over, but we are looking forward to working with WMATA once it is taken over. We are moving ahead with safety for the Metro Access Transition Team, and one of the suggestions that came up at the last meeting was, since we know what the safety requirements were in the RFP, we know what the safety procedures have been for the incumbent, but we have three new groups coming on board. And we had a suggestion that it would be nice if we could put together a round table with the three new incumbents the incumbent plus the three new contractors and the WMATA safety staff, and see if we can come up with national best practices and best practices for WMATA. Because WMATA has always gone above and beyond the minimum best practices. They've always gone one step above. And so Mr. Kent and his staff are going to put together a round table for us at not the next meeting, but the meeting after that of the full AAC and the Metro Access Subcommittee. The other thing that came up was the question about, with the new contract, where we're going to have an increase in the number of road supervisors. Because one of the things that has happened with incidents on the road is there has been some delay in getting somebody there because of the shortage of staff. And Mr. Kent pointed out to us that he's currently working with other subgroups within the WMATA system to see if we can have some flexibility in the availability of road supervisors, so that if there's an accident, we can have a response time that's within the same response time that New York City has, which is 30 minutes rather than 2 hours. And so that's a real plus to see the system working together and across. We don't have silos in WMATA, but across divisions. The other thing that will excite everybody, the Fair Policy Work Group has started working again. And we met on Monday, and one of the items that we're going to be addressing is the $1 surcharge for the use of cash on bus. And I know you at the Finance Subcommittee meeting had a very, very detailed presentation by Mr. Schofield on the effect that the $1 surcharge has had on smart trip penetration into the bus market and also the speed of boarding in the bus market. And clearly, the board and WMATA has been very responsive to our points that there is a group of unbanked, uncredit carded, uncell phone, unwebbed individual that can purchase the card, but there's no way for them to add fare. And by putting fare stations at CVS and Giant, that has had a large impact, but not a total impact. And there still is a slowness in boarding. We, the Fair Policy Committee, think that you've probably reached the peak of penetration that you're going to get. At that presentation, and we found out that there was a presentation to the JCC, the alternative would be to remove the $1 penalty for using cash, boarding buses, not on trains or for paper cars, but on buses, or to develop a new fare adding machine that would be put outdoors along the bus routes that have the slowest boarding due to people using cash or loading cash onto their smart trip cards on the buses. And we're going to be addressing that as a Fair Policy Committee. Our initial feeling was negative about that just because of the cost of developing those machines, the problems of powering the machines, the problem of maintaining those machines out of doors without security in bad weather, that at this point with the amount of penetration that the market has of smart trip cards, why not let the people that don't have access to all those things, which are the financially challenged ones and the cognitively challenged ones, just put their cash into the bus and get on board. Then the last thing that we wanted to add at the Metro Access Committee meeting, we had an update on the activation and incorporation of the trapeze fare calculator into the system and accessibility to reservationists, and is currently being tested. Intensely was the phrase that was used. And the promise that at our next meeting, which is going to be on June the 3rd, that we would have a demonstration and it should be ready to be incorporated. And so I'd like to invite everybody on the board that, hey, if you're excited about the fare calculator, come on down. It's a good time to come and see what's happening. And the other thing to point out along with the fare machines, I'm sure you folks have looked down the stairwell as you came into the building the last couple of times to notice there are strange contraptions down there. Those are models of potential new fare gates at the used stations. We will be testing them for accessibility at our next meeting, but if you have some time, you might want to go down and take a look yourself at what may be in the future for accessing the train. So I've spoken a little more than I expected to, but thank you. And any questions for Patrick or me, please.
Thanks for the presentation. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, thank you again.
Great, thank you. Have a good June.
The report by the Writers Advisory Council, Mr. Wright.
Good afternoon. My name is James Wright, and good afternoon, Mr. Downs and members of the Board of Directors. My name is James Wright, and I'm the Council's Maryland Vice President. I represent Prince George's County on the Council. I am also a daily rider of bus and rail service. I do not own a car, but I am a longtime member of Zipcar. As a matter of fact, I was one of the original members of Flexcar when it came here earlier in the last decade. And I'm also president of the Sea Pleasant Citizens Association. It is my pleasure to speak with you very briefly today. And at our meeting, our most recent meeting, the RAC welcomed Transit Police Chief Ronald Pavlik, who outlined his department's ongoing efforts to deter and respond to criminal activity on the metro system with an emphasis on addressing youth behavior issues. And members of the council encouraged him and his department to engage directly with youth to help curb this activity. Let me say this in regards. This is a real issue with certain stations in the system. You have young people who have just gotten out of school, and they being young people the way they are, they're very active. And sometimes it can be a distraction to people who just want to get to work or who want to get home. And let me just say that we really encourage the chief to work on this. And let me also say that my experience with Metro police officers has been very positive. They're professional. They do their job. And let me just say, sometimes it's not easy, but they do the best they can, and I commend their professionalism and their work ethic. I have a report from the Emergency and Incident Communications Committee. The council also approved two letters from the Safety and Security Committee responding to requests from board and staff. The first letter offers concrete suggestions for Metro to improve communications with riders in an emergency situation and to help educate riders about emergency procedures before they occur. I understand this is an ongoing process, and I really commend the board for recognizing that this is an issue brought to the RAC to work on, and it is something that we're just working on even as riders. And the second letter responds positively to the board's proposal to continue discussion on incident communications. And the RAC looks forward to facilitating further interactions on these topics between the board and Metro riders. And I think that's pretty much self-explanatory. This is one of our most, all of our committees are important, but this is a really important committee because this really deals with some of the issues that we hear that the riders tell us. And on April the 24th, we had a Virginia listening session. This was in Alexandria at the Charles Houston Recreation Center. And the two broad themes that we heard about was the need for better communication between Metro and its riders, especially current service interruptions and incidents, and the inconvenience caused by late night and weekend closures and single tracking, both in terms of the extra time required for trips and the lack of schedules to help riders plan their trips. As someone who deals with this to a certain degree every weekend, I can testify that it is sometimes frustrating to deal with this when I come from an assignment or what I'm doing and it's late Friday night and I walk into the station and I look at the electronic sign and it says Largo, the train to Largo, 20 minutes, and you're thinking, okay, I have to wait in here for 20 minutes for a train. I definitely understand that you have to do that track work. I mean, it has to be done. It has to be done. There just has to be a discussion of any way possible that maybe more trains could be supplied. That's out of my bailiwick. But the point is that it should be recognized as a problem. And the council will continue to work on suggestions submitted by riders as a part of this session and look forward to follow up with the board at a later date on this. Thank you for your time and attention. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Are there any questions or comments from the board for the RAC? Hearing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Good report. Since this is a light board meeting in terms of agenda, I'm going to contribute to that lightness by not having a chair's report this month. I would ask for the report of the GM, Mr. Sarles.
I would quite say the same thing, but I'll try to keep it short. Good morning. This week we have experienced heat and humidity that signal the coming of summer. Our rail car maintenance teams have been working through the spring to prepare our trains to stay as cool and comfortable as possible for the next few months. The entire fleet has been through seasonal preparations that include all six vehicle fleets. This weekend, we celebrate Memorial Day, Monday, May 27th. We will operate on a modified Sunday schedule. On the rail side, the system will open at 7 a.m. and close at midnight. Passengers should also note that our rebuilding work is continuing on the red and orange lines. Metro Access subscriptions trips will be canceled on Monday. Customers wishing to travel on the holiday should make a separate reservation. We are pleased to provide service for all who celebrate this important holiday. It's a day of remembrance for the men and women who made the ultimate sacrifice for our country. This holiday originated after the American Civil War to commemorate the Union and Confederate soldiers who were lost. Since that time, more than 1.2 million Americans have died. While serving our country and protecting the freedoms we hold dear, we salute all of them and their families by honoring their memories on Monday. While we are talking about holidays, there is still time to order a special Smart Trip card for the 4th of July if you are headed to the National Mall for fireworks. Metro began accepting online pre-order of 4th of July Smart Trip cards on May 1st, and we have already received nearly 300 orders for the card, which we are mailing to either your home or office in June. Each commemorative card costs $14, which is $5 less than the cost of purchasing a Smart Trip card and a one-day pass separately. This week, we introduced Metro's $35 seven-day short trip pass for Smart Trip cards. The upgrade allows Smart Trip users to purchase and load short trip passes from the convenience of their computer. Previously, the short trip pass was available only as a paper fare card. By launching the short trip pass as a Smart Trip product, a lot of S's here, riders can load a new pass onto their Smart Trip card at smarttrip.com in addition to purchasing the pass at a fare vending machine. We will discontinue sales of the paper version of the short trip pass after May 31st, 2013. And finally, I'd like to welcome our new Smart Benefits customers. Over the last 3 months, including May, we have seen a total of 74,000 new Smart Benefits users join the program. While we don't know precisely the number of new versus returning benefits customers, I can report that over the last three-month ridership period, that's February through April, we served 25,000 more trips daily than we did the previous 7 months. Too early to call this a trend, but certainly we are headed in the right direction. In closing today, I just want to remind everyone, particularly our passengers, that since the warm weather has finally arrived this week, please be especially careful using the escalators. We are seeing a recurring issue with people losing footwear, particularly sandals and flip-flops, and slips and trips are up, in part because we have people running in shoes that simply are not safe. Please make sure you use the escalators safely and take care in selecting your own shoes, as well as those of your children when they are traveling on the system. Mr. Chairman, that concludes my remarks.
Thank you. Next is a report by the Finance Administration Committee. Mr. Acosta.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The committee met on May 9th and referred one item to the board. The staff sought committee approval of the Southern Avenue Bus Garage public hearing staff report, selection of the recommended alternative A near the intersection of Forestville Road and Suitland Parkway, and approval to purchase property for the new garage. Also note that there's a blue sheet in the board packet. The Finance and Administration Committee package referenced but did not include a copy of the public hearing notice, and that's attached to the board packet. And with that, I'd like to move approval of this item.
Motion made and seconded. Is there any discussion or comment? Mr. Bolger.
I still have concerns about the compressed natural gas availability at this site, and in our DC briefing this week was brought to our attention that the City of Richmond Transit Agency is currently compressing natural gas on site at one of their facilities, and since this site is far away from Washington Gas high pressure lines, and it puts in jeopardy, I think, our fleet, because we're going to have to move buses all over the place to get to the compressed natural gas facilities that we have, and this site does not have that availability. So I'm going to ask that we look into what the City of Richmond's doing to compress natural gas and whether or not that would fit into the site that Mr. Acosta's motion deals with. So I don't know how I want to handle that, but that's a request of the chairman.
It probably is not germane to the recommendation for the site, but I would ask that the general manager respond with a look at the issues around the Richmond technology and make a report back to the board.
We will do that.
Thank you.
Hearing no other comments or questions, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? That is the conclusion of the agenda for the Finance Committee. We have a consent item on a technical correction for the fiscal year 2014 budget, and Mr. Bolger asked for the opportunity to raise a question on the consent item.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I ask that the three banks that provide short-term lines of credit, whether those banks go through a bidding process, and are they community-based banks?
No, they don't go through a bidding process. We typically use our large commercial banks that do business with us. Mm-hmm. We have three of them. We provide them the opportunity to lend us money in the line of credit. So it's the relationship bank. It's really a loss leader for these commercial banks on the line of credit. But what we do is we have met with many of the local banks, mm-hmm. In order to get to your point, to try to encourage them to do business with us. The difficulty is there's a large collateral associated with doing business with a large entity like Metro. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of these smaller banks, don't as much have the capacity to mm-hmm. put collateral deposits together because of the restrictions and FDIC. So, but we have been working with them. It's a long answer to your question, but we recognize that we wanted to understand how we can get local banks into our business. But we do not bid out the line of credit. To simply
well, okay. On the second point, I encourage you to see if we can do more community-based banking, keeping metropolitan dollars in the metropolitan region rather than going with the big national banks that are mostly located in Charlotte. I probably shouldn't have said that since the new Secretary of Transportation is going to be the mayor of Charlotte. So I take that back. But just as a matter of loaning to businesses at metro stations that I see all over the place that have local banks behind them.
We do a lot, and I agree with you. We are looking at that. Even when we do our debt issues, we actually encourage, we have a lot of participation with minority small business investment banks that are part of that consortium, if you will, that participates in the bond issue. So we do make a requirement of that.
With that, this is still a consent item. I would ask the board's consent in approving the amendment to the resolution. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Jurisdiction reports. I ask Ms. Bowser if she would make the district report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'm pleased to say that our council has, as of yesterday, passed on first reading our budget for the upcoming fiscal year. And most significantly for Metro was a recommendation offered by my chairman, Phil Mendelson, to identify a dedicated funding source for Momentum to fund the district's portion of Momentum. You recognize that changes at legislatures all the time, but we think this is an encouraging step, and I want to thank Phil for help moving the council that way. I took the opportunity yesterday to remind people that if we want the system to grow and to receive the many people who want to move to our region, that $26 billion will be needed by 2040. I'm not even talking about the interim steps because we know that we have to get there, but I think we have to think about 2040. And so I'm pleased to make that report, and we'll keep all the board members and staff apprised of how you might help us advance that discussion.
Thank you. That's good news. WSTC?
No report.
MVTC?
Mr. Chairman, I was not there, but I know that Mr. Sarles was there, and I'm sure a great presentation. I turn to Mr. Dyke or the others if they have any other additional comments.
As always, and federal government.
Mr. Chairman.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You know, it's probably worth saying here that the Northern Virginia Transportation Authority, which is the recipient of additional money due to our state legislature's action, is meeting, I believe, tonight to put together their initial project list. Thanks to our staff for feeding in some of the things that meet the criteria initially into that process. The list will be out for public comment for about a month and adopted in June. So any of those listening wish to take a look at that, I think it'll be up on the website probably tomorrow or next Tuesday. But I think there are some projects in there that help advance WMATA's goals, and the conversation persists as we move forward about how we begin to feed other parts of momentum into that process. So just so people know.
Thank you. Federal government?
No report.
If there is no other business before the board, I would adjourn the meeting. Thank you.